Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the pilgrimage series, I guess we'll call it. It's a beautiful day here in Antigua, Guatemala. Volcán Agua, the view today is a bit hazy, but it's a beautiful sunny day. Just sun and clouds, a blue sky. I'm up on the terrace and it's nice and breezy, and I'm sure you'll hear all sorts of sounds. Hopefully they won't be distracting to you, but it is what it is, right? Goodness, so much to talk about. It's been a very stressful week. I was taking the pit out of an avocado, and I know better than to try to stab it out. And but I had this, not only did I try to stab it with the point of the knife, but the knife is, I don't know, it's really long, probably close to 12 inches. So it was a huge knife for a little Haas avocado, and the pit rotated and boom, right into my finger it went. So needless to say, I cut myself. It probably needed about 2 stitches, but if you want to hear all about it, you'll just have to go to my Facebook page. And if we're not friends, then you may want to friend request me so you can read all about it. That was Tuesday, so then I don't remember which day it was, but I'm sitting. I had just gotten back from the school from work, and there was a 4.0 earthquake, and it's the first time that I've been in one that long and intense, and I really just about pooped my pants. And there were a lot of aftershocks, so every time another one of those came, I was wondering if it would be a long one, if it would be strong, and but I'm over that because this morning there apparently was a 3.91 at exactly 6:55 a.m. It woke me up. I was in the middle of a deep sleep, and I literally just opened one eye, looked up, saw that the ceiling was there, didn't seem like anything was crumbling. I closed my eye, and I went back to sleep for about another 15 minutes. I didn't feel any aftershocks. I'm not sure if there were any. If there were, they were probably small. I also then didn't sleep well because I got a minor cold, and so I had a sore throat for 2 nights in a row, and every time I swallowed, it woke me up. So there was that. I realized just now that I said, I'm trying to work on that. I realized I was telling my husband as we were talking, we were FaceTiming, that I get, for years I've had this pain on my left shoulder. And I realized that it was undealt stress, and so it had gone away for the first time in years since I've been here. I have a whole lot less stress, and it came back. And so not only did I have pain from, the tetanus shot, which it actually doesn't hurt as much today, but my whole left bicep was actually hard and swollen a little bit and red. But my, the muscle up here near the neck, it was a huge ball and it was hurting and it was shooting pain down my shoulder. And that was a very familiar pain. And I realized that because of my personality and coping mechanisms, I guess, through the years, I just suck things up and move forward and don't deal with things. And, it was a good realization. I don't know that I did anything different except just knowing that that's what I do. I told him I needed to learn to acquire some coping mechanism tools to not allow stress to sit in my body like that. So that was that. What else is new? I had this dream last week that was really, I rarely remember my dreams, but this was very vivid. I was with my son, and that part I won't get into because this podcast will turn into forever and ever. But what was going on was that towards the end of the dream, my third son and I, get into this shuttle bus, let's say, and we're crossing a bridge, and the bridge is really, really high. I don't know how many of you know, but I'm acrophobic, which means I have a fear of heights, which I acquired in old age. I never did have that before. But I'm sitting there, and when I realize we're going over this really, really high bridge, I start having a panic attack in the dream, and I literally am just in like fetal position. And but something prompted me to actually get on my knees, and when I get on my knees and open my eyes, I see my own shadow. However, the shadow I'm looking at is a little girl, and she's actually sticking her tongue out at me playfully. And that really calmed me. And then I was able to look over the bridge and not be afraid. And I actually stretched my arms out, like, you know, when you actually are on a roller coaster and you're sitting in the front and you open your arms out. I did that. And so this whole time, though, I'm looking at my shadow, which is me, but it's me as a child. And I feel the breeze in my hair. Just my hair was longer too. I have really short hair, so my hair is long, and the breeze is blowing my hair back, and I'm just flying, and I'm enjoying it. I'm laughing, and I woke up, and I just pondered on the dream, and it was just freedom in it. I woke up feeling free. As in Enneagram 8, there is this thing about finding innocence. Anyway, all that long story to tell you that if you're over on Instagram, you can read, I wrote a poem about it. So you can go read it over there. I actually posted it today. It's Sunday, actually I have no idea what today's date is, but it's Sunday. What else is new? Flute. I had my second lesson. And what I discovered was that I did not have a problem with my diaphragm, actually because of uncontrolled allergies. I probably had either some minor asthma or some irritation, and I had told you, I think I told you last week, that I self-medicated with some pump that the owner of the house here has, and that cleared up my airways, and I can blow fine. So I learned three notes, and I'm able to play them, and it's very exciting. And that is the summary of what I've been up to on just everyday life. Now, as far as meditation goes, I told you last week, I think it was, that I'm reading Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth by Richard Foster. And so I've gotten to the part of the introduction and then just getting to meditation, which is one of the spiritual disciplines. However, there's this section that called my attention. I'll be reading just the highlights of it all. But a friend of mine, Rachel Bruce, she actually was on one of the episodes. We were discussing the movie. It was with Oprah Winfrey. What was the name of that movie? Based on a book. And now I can't remember, but it was Shonda and Rachel. But she wrote once on a cup we had signed, and we were at a retreat, Deep Calls to Deep. And I really never knew what that really meant. I mean, I have a brain, so I thought, you know, there was some deep meaning to that. But it actually comes from Psalm 42:7, and I'm going to read that because in the book, it actually is referred to. And so I thought of Rachel again. But on Psalm 42:7, it reads, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." And it was very endearing that Rachel would use that. And it's just special to me now. But in the book, it says Psalm 42:7 reads, "Deep calls to deep." So perhaps somewhere in the subterranean chambers of your life, you have heard the call to deeper, fuller living. You have become weary of frothy experiences and shallow teaching. Every now and then, you have caught glimpses, hints of something more than you have known. Inwardly, you long to launch into the deep. And so while Rachel was referring to my relationship, I think, with her, and calling her to deeper living, I myself am diving deeper into exactly that.
I've caught glimpses, but I want to know for myself. I want to experience it as a Hebrew. So that was definitely very heartwarming for me to find that there. What else? You're going to hear a lot of rustling of pages. As I read to you the highlights of what... Probably should have used sticky notes. This was an important distinction for me, and it was very helpful because I've heard of meditation. A lot of people are against it because they think it's an Eastern thing. Yet the Bible calls us to meditate on His law. And there's constant use of the word meditation in the Bible. So obviously, there's nothing wrong with meditating. But I always found that confusing. So the author here makes a very powerful distinction, at least for me. So Eastern meditation is an attempt to empty the mind. Christian meditation is an attempt to fill the mind. And I thought, ooh, I like that. So what are we to fill it with, right? And so Christian meditation goes far beyond the notion of detachment. There is a need for detachment, so a Sabbath of contemplation. But detachment is not enough. We must go on to attachment. And so the detachment from confusion all around us in order to have a richer attachment to God. And so Christian meditation leads us to the inner wholeness necessary to give ourselves to God freely. And that right there caught my attention. So that is part of this journey. The other thing I want to read here to you is these two concepts of meditation are complete opposite. The one confines us to a totally human experience. The other catapults us into a divine human encounter. So the one talks about exploring the subconscious. The other speaks of resting in Him whom we have found, who loves us, who is near us, who comes to us to draw us to Himself. So both may sound religious and even use religious jargon, but the former can ultimately find no place for spiritual reality. And that clarity was really helpful for me. And he talks about four forms of meditation, I think, if I caught them. I'm going to only refer to three of them, and I have not decided which one I'm going to start exploring first. But one is meditating as an active participant. And so it's basically reading the Bible, reading a passage, and but putting yourself as if you are actually there as part of the passage, as a protagonist, more so than just an outside observer. Then another form of the meditation is more contemplative. Middle Ages called it recollection. I guess Quakers call it centering. And I've heard of that before. And so it's just basically open to giving and receiving. So there's a whole exercise of using your palms to symbolically, if you put them down, to give away your concerns. And then you flip them upward to receive from God. So that sounds attractive to me as well. There's the other one of admiring His creation and to really just look at His creation. He uses Psalm 19:1. Let me see what it says here about, where does the quote open? I can't see the open quotes. Begin with the first form. I don't know where the, but anyway, he refers to Psalm 19:1, so you can go look that up because I didn't mark it. But it's just basically looking at the universe and looking at God's creation and really focusing on the trees, on the beauty, symmetry, you know, whatever catches your attention. And being that sometimes God reaches us profoundly in the simple ways, if we will quiet ourselves to listen. And focusing on the details of different things. I know that I personally love nature. Sometimes I just look at different animals or flowers and just think of how creative God is. And I admire that in people that can create with their hands, people that can draw, paint. I just, I have told many creative people, artistic people in that fashion, that I just see a huge piece of God in them. So I admire that a lot. It's just, his creation is beautiful. So I could most definitely explore that. And there's another one he talks about, just, I'm not even going to go into it because I was just like, I'm not interested in that right now. So I'm not sure which one of those three I'll explore. But as I was actually thinking this morning of meditating and why I haven't pursued it, the other thing is I'm getting more into journaling and why my friend Pam has harassed me through years of journaling. And I've bought, you know, a journal, and I will write for a while, and then I just don't. But I saw something on actually Instagram. I follow a few Enneagram 8 people, and they were talking about how important it is for 8s to meditate so that we can get in touch, and not meditate, sorry, to journal. And I thought, well, maybe this is a sign. So I am committing to journaling and meditating every day. Thought that, you know, usual 21-day thing is good. So I'll put that as a goal. And then I was wondering, you said, why do I have to just set goals? I guess it's part of my personality. If not, I just won't do it just because. But as I was sitting here being distracted by all sorts of sounds and smells and noises, all of a sudden I had this little whisper, and I was just like, wow. And it caused fear in me. What if I experienced God with all of my senses? Like, it would probably kill me. Like, thinking of experience God through my sense of smell. I don't know. Maybe taste through coffee is usually what I'm doing when I'm sitting here thinking about these things. But hearing him and seeing him and his creation all at the same time would just be way overwhelming. And I thought of it being way overwhelming because just going to an area where there's a lot of people and a lot of smells and a lot of noises. And I think of the market here in Antigua, Guatemala, when I go there, there's smells of fresh fruit and baked goods and fish and seafood and pork and pig, chicken and beef, and all those smells all together are overwhelming. They're not even pleasant. And I usually have to walk through certain areas with my mouth open and breathing through my mouth because the smell makes me gag. All the people squishing and walking by and the touching. And by the time I leave there, and I love shopping there because everything's fresh and, you know, I do enjoy the people. When I get home, I'm exhausted because of all my senses have been just overwhelmed. So I can't imagine experiencing God through all the senses at once. Anyway, I don't know if that means much or not. I also had this scripture has attracted me for years, and I've never really known why. I'm going to read it to you, and I will be probably reading it daily to see what I glean from it. I will also be listening to Holy Spirit. I don't remember the name of the author or the singer. It says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, that song. It always makes me want to cry. So it's, I think, a good centering song to get into the meditative juju kind of thing. But so Isaiah 61:3, well, actually 1-3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I'm not sure if
this is a scripture that he's calling me to, calling me higher. I'm not sure if he's speaking to me directly, or maybe it's all of the above. But I think of it often, and I've never understood why this scripture has been put on my heart. But I decided that, I guess, what better time than now to explore it as I learn how to meditate on him. So I think that's all I have here. And I will be giving you, I guess, an update in a week. Hopefully next week will be a whole lot less exciting than this week. And I hope that you are meditating on what he has for you as well. So I will be posting this on the page and probably with some pictures along the way. And I will see you next week. And thanks for listening.